Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Mover podcast series. Here you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself.
From her home in Lumberton, North Carolina, Maria Parker, a mother of four young adults, talked to us about a race she is doing across America for her sister, who has terminal brain cancer. Called RAM, it is the world's toughest bike race, far more challenging than the Tour de France. Just qualifying for it, much less finishing it, is a challenge of unspeakable proportion. Nor is Maria doing this for fame or for the bike company she owns with her husband and her partner. In the words ahead, you'll hear from a woman much humbled by the challenge she has ahead of her, and by a sister who maintains her optimism for others despite the illness that has overcome her. So Maria, how are you today?
I'm doing terrific. Martin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Well, this is exciting. I've been so much looking forward to doing this interview with you about a race that I've long known about and always looked at from afar. Like I was telling your husband, I've always been kind of a person that's had a great amount of interest in this because of, you know, the fact that I've been across the U.S. a couple of times. And
Right.
But let's just get right into it then, okay? You ready?
Okay.
Yep. So I'm gonna hit you with this. I'm just gonna come right straight at you. Okay. You're 50 years old. You're a mother of four kids. They're 18 and 28. You were telling me the other day. And on June 11th, you'll be racing across America in a race that is the most grueling bike race, test of endurance in the world. Why are you doing this? Isn't that time for in your life when you can just sit back and reflect on what you've accomplished? I mean, what's going on?
Well, you know, I like you, Martin, I've long known about Race Across America and sort of looked at it from afar and thought, you know, who are those crazy people who do that, and never really been tempted to do it. But then, as I've told you, my sister was diagnosed with brain cancer and changed everything for me because I'm pretty good on the bicycle. I've got some records and I decided I wanted to use those skills, which are basically all I've got, to raise awareness and money so that other people diagnosed with brain cancer won't get such a terrible news. You know, basically brain cancer is, most kinds of brain cancer are very deadly, and you're given a year to 18 months to live once you're diagnosed. So that was, you know, sitting with my sister in the doctor's office, I thought, I don't want other people to have to go through this. And what can I do about it? All I know how to do is pedal. So, and RAM is the tallest platform I have to pedal from. So I decided to enter RAM and raise some money for brain cancer research.
Okay, now Jenny is what, about 10 months older than you?
Yes,
right?
That's right. She and I are known
almost
as
twins.
Irish twins. Yeah,
yeah. Irish
We're
twins.
Very close.
Okay.
We're very close.
Wow.
She has five kids. I have four. We've had our children at the same time, and we've spent our children, you know, spent lots of time together, and you know, we're close like siblings often are. She's a wonderful person, completely different from me in many, many ways. She would no more dream of doing this than get in a rocket ship and go to the moon. But she's an incredibly beautiful, emotional, generous, enthusiastic person, and the most encouraging person I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, she's been a huge, you know, huge supporter of mine and dear, you know, friend since I was born.
Wow. Well, I do want to come back to Jenny and how I can help you help her. But so essentially, how long have you been preparing for RAM?
Well, you know, I've since October. That's when I decided that I was going to do it. I did a UMCA record, 24-hour record in October, and that was shortly after Jenny was diagnosed. And during the whole 24 hours, I was just, you know, thinking and trying to decide, you know, what I could do. Kind of just, I sort of cried through the 24 hours, just, you know, just because I've been so devastated. And so after the I set the record and after it, I thought, well, okay, you know, I can do this. I'm gonna enter RAM. So I've been preparing for RAM since then.
Well, so essentially, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer in October, correct?
Right.
So that was pretty much when you got serious about Ram. You committed to doing it.
Yes.
You went out and you rode that, what, that was the Pace of Carolina?
No, well, I did the Pace of Carolina. That was earlier, just for fun, in September. That was before I knew Jenny was sick.
Okay.
So I did what I did in October was an ultramarathon cycling 24-hour record. And then that had been, and I had decided, I had set that up long ago. You know, I do these records. I've done, I hold now the 100-mile record, the 200-mile record, a 12-hour record, and a 24-hour record through UMCA, Ultramarathon Cycling Association.
Yeah.
And so we had set up the 24-hour record. I knew, because I wanted to do it to mostly really to publicize our bike.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whenever I do a record or I enter a race and I do well in it, we sell a lot of bikes. So we set that up, but then I almost didn't do it because when Jenny was diagnosed, I thought, oh, I just don't have the heart for it. But it didn't take long for me to, and I think most people can relate to this. You know, we sit around for long enough.
Mm-hmm.
If you're used to being active, you just think, no, I got to get out.
Mm-hmm.
I have to move my body. Moving my body made the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
I went ahead with the record, and at the end of the record, decided to do Ram, Race Across America.
Wow. You told me you never thought of yourself as an athlete until the cruise bike, your company let you see what you're made of. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, I still, when I call myself an athlete, I giggle a little bit because I think my bike makes me look really good. Cruise bike's a fast bike. And I look good on the bike. I anybody who rides a cruise bike is going to be fast though. So, but I do, I know, you know, I have an ability to do things, for a long period of time. I have sort of a natural, ultra personality. When I was a runner, I would run marathons and I did, half Ironman. And so I knew that I could just, you know, make myself keep going. But I'm not a power athlete at all. I don't think of myself as having any natural talent.
That's kind of funny because you don't think of yourself as an athlete. You don't think of yourself as a power athlete, and yet a lot of your bike peers, they see you as an animal.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I think it's the bike, and the bike makes me look good.
Okay.
And you know, and there's an ultra cycling is a small world, and you know, there's not that many women in it. So it's easy to be a big fish in a small pond. I'm not terribly big, but the pond isn't that big.
Has childbirth made this easy?
I think having kids makes a difference. Most women can relate to this. If you've gone through childbirth, and I've been through it four times.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just having to deal with an infant,
mm-hmm.
I think, and now men becoming more involved in the lives of their children, you know what it's like when you have a screaming newborn.
I've got a 2-year-old.
Right.
I've
so you know. You know what it's like.
Oh my God.
Right. So you know. Jeez. You know what it's like.
Yeah.
It's an ultra endurance event.
On a whole other level.
Yeah, I think whenever I'm cycling and it gets hard, I think back on all the nights I would be up awake with
that's where you learn about sleep deprivation.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, now I get it. Huh, okay. So right now, how do you structure your day? You know, between fundraising for your sister, training for your ride, and then also running the cruise bike business. How does your day, you get up in the morning and ride, or...
Yeah, so I get up, I'm an early morning rider. I usually get up around 4:30, and I'm on the bike by 5:30 during the week. Sometimes I ride a little bit later on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get back, and
how long of a ride do you go out for?
Well, it varies. During the week, it's usually under 2 hours.
So you ride until about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right, okay. Yeah. Usually I'm back in the house by 8.
Uh-huh.
And then I shower and you just listed the things that I do. I fundraise because I'm trying to raise $1 million for brain cancer research.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my day is fundraising, and a lot of my day is still working the cruise bike business. And now I also try to spend at least a day or two a week with my sister who lives in Charlotte, which is about 3 hours from here. So I'm really busy, but it's a good full life, and I feel like everything I'm doing is important, so that's good.
Right. How many miles do you think you're getting a week?
Well, that varies a lot. I'm a low mileage, relatively low mileage. I have a coach, and what we do is high intensity stuff. So when during the week I ride at my threshold pace, increasing minutes at my threshold pace, and on the weekends I ride at my tempo pace, and I race at a very relaxed pace. That's more of an easy pace. So I just got back from about a 70-mile ride. I'll probably do maybe another 40 tomorrow. During the week, I do, it's usually about 30 to 40 miles. So, mm-hmm. I don't know, whatever that is. I'm not a mileage. I don't keep track of my mileage. Mm-hmm. It's more the amount of time on the bike. So.
Right on. So how much time is that? What's that amount to? How many hours?
That's a good question. So it's an hour and a half, two hours, 4 days during the weekend, during the week, because mm-hmm. I take Mondays off. Mm-hmm. So that's 8 hours. And then on the weekend, it's probably something like, I'm probably on the bike about 20 hours.
Tell us about Jim, your trainer, Jim.
Jim Vierhul, is my coach, and he's
he's won a few recumbent events himself, right?
Yeah, he's an amazing rider himself. He's got records, and he's terrific. He rides a recumbent bike, and I learned about him when he's also. He's very scientific about training. I train with Power. I have a Power meter.
Mm-hmm.
And I read an article he'd written for, I think, Ultra Cycling News or something. And I was really impressed with his take on training. Because up until that point, I'd just been, like most people, just getting out there and doing miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. I was mm-hmm. on my bike all the time. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, if I could do some higher quality. Anyway, I was impressed with what he'd written, so I got in touch with him, and we talked. And he lives in California, and he sends me, and I hired him as a coach, and he sends me workouts, and we talk about it once a week. And I have had good success. I first got in touch with him before Sebring 2011. And my goal was to do well in the 24-hour race at Sebring, and I did great. I set a record. I beat all the men that year.
You beat the men.
I beat everybody. I had the most mileage of anybody, mm-hmm. and so that I felt really. And I remember when I was doing the workouts that he'd given me, thinking, "Is this enough miles?" I was really trying to trust the workouts. Well, it was. When I was actually racing, it felt easy,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to go a long way. So his technique has been really good for me, and also it allows me. I mean, I know a lot of ultra cyclists do, spend all day Saturday and all day Sunday on the bike, mm-hmm. and a lot, as much as they can during the week as well. Mm-hmm. So this allows me to do
work
all
your
of
business and work Jenny's.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying when I'm on the bike, I'm working my
focused.
Butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my heart rate is way up high. My power numbers are really high. It's mm-hmm. All of the workouts I do are very quality workouts.
Hmm. Well, your cruise bike is it's a recumbent, and it's kind of like it's a configuration being a recumbent. It's like the kind of bike like I myself have been accused of sleeping on the job.
Yeah.
Why be so?
People love to say that, don't they?
Yeah,
all you need is a beer and a remote.
Yeah, really. Too much. But your bike is not only comfortable, it's a speed demon.
Yes, it is. It's a very fast bike. It's a front-wheel drive recumbent bike. So unlike mm-hmm. other recumbent bikes where the, in a recumbent bike, the definition of a recumbent bike is your feet are out in front of you and your weight is supported over your back.
Mm-hmm.
And so most recumbent bikes, you pedal out in front of you, and there's a long chain mm-hmm. that drives
right.
the rear wheel.
Right.
So the difference between other recumbent bikes and the cruise bike is that when we pedal, we're actually driving, powering the front wheel. So all of our components are standard components. The chain length is standard. It's like a bike that's sort of been turned on. It's a regular diamond frame bike that's sort of been turned on its side, on its back. And so we really feel like because it's front-wheel drive, we can use our upper body, as you were mentioning, our upper body and our core to help create power.
Mm-hmm.
And to climb hills, I can change positions. I can sit forward, almost like a regular cyclist would stand up.
So you feel like you're part of the bike.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Very much.
Wow.
And I can use different muscle groups. Whereas on a typically a recumbent rider's just, you know, I say it's an Irish dance because mm-hmm. it all happens below your, you know, your waist.
Right,
you have to keep your upper body really relaxed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So and people on recumbent bikes do really, really well. If they you know, get that power and they get used to it, but I maintain, and you know, that the cruise bike is just a much better climber than other recumbent bikes.
Well, years ago there was a guy named Tom Traylor,
Southern
California.
He's
just terrorized.
Tom was riding a front wheel drive. He invented front wheel drive.
You guys have his patent.
Right. We're working off of his patent. His patent
God.
Has actually expired. But
and he was in the 60s, and he was just blowing everybody, the doors off everybody, you know?
Yes.
Wow.
Tom's an amazing guy. He's a brilliant, brilliant man.
Yeah.
He's invented all kinds of things, and he held the patent on front wheel drive.
And he's so humble. He's so incredibly humble.
Yeah.
And last time I saw him, he's got at some race. What an incredible human being he is.
He is.
Man, oh man. And let me just underscore this for my listeners. Her bike, you can pull on the handlebars. You cannot pull on the handlebars on a regular recumbent without scary
wobbling bike, mm-hmm.
possibility of breaking him
mm-hmm.
or wobbling the bike or what have you. Yeah. But you can pull the bars and just, oh my God, when that takes place, what you're doing is you're stabilizing the trunk, the core.
That's right.
And it's just, the power is just amazing what can be produced when you're coming from that place. So now I understand a little bit more about your bike. You say yours fits you like a glove. Someone buy a bike like yours and get that same experience?
Yeah, the bike is adjustable. The front, what we call the boom, mm-hmm. will telescope out for mm-hmm. taller riders mm-hmm. or contract in for shorter riders. So, yeah, everybody can get a Vendetta that fits them or any of our bikes. The Vendetta is our top-of-the-line.
But Jim was saying you guys are out of stock.
Yes, we are. Hopefully we're going to be coming back in stock in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, we're manufacturing them right now.
Do you make them here in America?
They're made in Taiwan in a small little family shop in Taiwan.
Have you visited the shop?
No. Our partner, John Tolhurst, goes there regularly. In fact, John is there now, and he's coming here tomorrow and going to be with us for a week or so.
Great.
He lives in Australia.
What kind of average road speed are you expecting in RAM?
You know, I hate to answer that question, Martin, because... You know, it would take a
okay,
lot of
time. Okay, let me ask it this way.
Okay.
What's comfortable for you on the flats?
On the flats, I can very comfortably go 20 miles an hour.
Very
more.
Comfortably.
Yes.
Yeah. And how about just a little bit of push?
Well, I mean, you know, like today, I need to look and see what my average was, but my average when I was doing a tempo, which is, you know, it's not the threshold, but it's an upbeat ride, was... For 50 miles was over 22 miles per hour.
Oh my God. So are you going to be in RAM? Are you going to be able to sustain?
No. I won't even try to come close to those. Like I said, that's training so that when I actually compete in these long events, I can go slower and it can feel really easy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, RAM is his own animal, right?
Uh-huh,
you know,
right.
People do it and half the people don't finish.
Mm-hmm.
For me to make predictions about what I'm going to do. I'm going to get out there and do the very best I can to honor my sister and honor other people who are struggling with cancer and to honor Jim and all the people who have supported me. And I'm going to do the very best I can. I, of course, I want to finish it. I'd like to win it. I want to set records, but I'm too smart to think that might happen. I'm just going to get out there and I'm going to do the very, very best I can. You know, but there's other things, you know, there's weather and then we have I'm a novice rider. I don't really know what to expect. And then there's, you know, we've got a crew and our crew's a novice crew. So who knows what's going to happen out there. I don't pretend to be able to predict anything. I'm just going to go out there and do the very best I can.
I'm going to come back to your crew, but first I'm going to ask you this. Recumbents supposedly can't climb. Is your bike going to cost you in the hills between Oceanside and Annapolis?
I don't think so.
No? It hammers the hills pretty good?
I can hammer the hills pretty good. I've done hilly rides before. This coming weekend I'm doing Heart of the South, which starts in Birmingham, Alabama, and has more climbing in 500 miles than the first 800 miles of Ram. So I'll know better after this weekend. But I've done plenty of hilly races, and I always do fine.
Do you find that you stack up with the uprights just fine when you're racing
with
them? Yeah, uphills.
Yes. Yes.
Tom Trader was the same way. He just, that's where he left everybody. You know, I remember out in the foothills down in Santa Barbara area.
Yeah.
I was saying, what's so fast about him? You know, it was kind of.
I mean, I was keeping faces with him just fine.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to the hills, and I was like, oh my God. Oh, Jesus. That was the end of that confidence period I had. Man, oh man. Holy crap.
The bike, the front-wheel drive recumbent it climbs hills very well. I mean, again, it's the engine. It's
ferocious.
Right. But you got to have the legs, and you have to have. I'm actually much more concerned about descending than ascending because
I don't like descending either. I hate it. I love climbing. I'd rather climb.
Yes.
You can see more.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's scary going down. It really is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And Ram, throughout the years, we always hear about the winners and losers. They're defined by how well their crew functions.
Right.
How big is your team? You say they're all rookies. How big is the team?
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to have 12 people. Mm-hmm. Some of them will be doing media for us, mm-hmm. so they won't be, you know. So it looks like we'll have three teams of three that'll actually be following me. We've heard that that's a good number, and that allows the crew to get some rest. So but they're all rookies now. Some of them have helped me in 24-hour events and in other races, but none of them have ever done a multi-day. You know, obviously Rams.
How many are your kids?
Three of my kids are going to be on the crew.
Right on.
The fourth would be too, but she can't get the time off of work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my son who's between high school and college is going to be there, and then I have a son who's in the military, and they're allowing him to take the time off.
Wow.
And then I have a daughter who's a writer, so she sort of sets her own schedule.
Is she going to write about this?
I feel really glad. I hope so.
Have you guys done any dry runs together?
Well, that's what this weekend, this coming race is, this coming weekend, mm-hmm. the Heart of the South. We're taking some of our crew who have never done anything like this, mm-hmm. and we're gonna act like it's Ram, where we have got the bike and the car set up to be, you know, Ram ready.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be sort of a dry run, and then, like I said, we'll have several other crew members who've never done anything will be crewing for me this coming weekend.
Have you had any meetings to discuss this?
Yeah, well, the whole crew, not physical meetings, but yes, we're always talking back and forth over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So my crew chief Dan Fallon is an amazing cyclist himself, and he's doing a great job, sort of getting the crew educated, and there's just a ton, as you can imagine, there's a ton of paperwork mm-hmm. and. And so he's doing a great job organizing all
that. How many vehicles?
Because I don't have time.
How many vehicles?
We'll have three, at least, we'll have three follow vehicles. Well, we'll have one follow vehicle and a backup follow vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll have my understanding is, and then we'll have like an errand vehicle. And then there might be a fourth media car.
Mm-hmm.
But that's we're still sort of working out the details of that.
Do you have a publicist?
Well, you know, yes, I guess, but nobody who's a... I have one of my nephews is going to be doing a lot of the filming and so forth, but I don't have it. I guess I don't really know how to answer that question. We've been publicizing this ourselves, mm-hmm. so I don't have a person that I'm paying to publicize
mm-hmm.
it.
Hmm. Let's talk about food for a second.
Okay.
First of all, hydration, do you have systems for that in place?
Well, yeah,
people are going to run by you and hand you water.
Yeah, I'll carry, you know, depending on the terrain, you don't want to carry a whole lot of water with you if you're doing a lot of climbing.
Right.
But I have, you know, I have a place where I have a water bottle on my bike, so I'll have water with me. And then, you know, typically in RAM, then, you know, your supporters either direct follow or leapfrog. And so they'll have water or nutrition for me as I need it. You know, they'll never be far from me.
How many calories a day are you expecting to burn?
You know, I've read that number.
So
I figure, yeah, something like 10,000. You know, it's just such a big number, you can't even 10,000. I can't even imagine it. But yeah,
I can't get Sun Food to come through, I'm still trying to get it. Open up the re-dialogue with them again.
Right, right.
But so what will you be eating?
Well, I have, I'm using a new product that I'm really excited about, called Generation UCAN.
Mm-hmm.
And they, it's super starch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. It was developed, for children who have a disease where they cannot store glycogen. So these kids that had to be awakened every 2 hours or something to be fed during the night, so they needed something better. So they developed this. It's like a cornstarch that they've modified. Anyway, it's turning out to be fabulous for athletes too, because it's absorbed mostly in your intestines rather than your stomach, and it's not like a sugar. It's not maltodextrin. You get a nice I take it in a bolus every 2 hours or so. And then you get a nice flat line instead of getting the spike.
Cool.
You get. So that's worked out. And I also use a product called Infinite, which is an athlete's drink that
what's it called again?
Infinite.
I looked at some of that stuff, and there was just a lot of sugar in it.
Yeah, and Infinite, and that's why I like the Generation UCAN,
right,
because it's not. Infinite is sort of allows me to take in the electrolytes and some a little sugar,
and
not
just
you
get
know
a flat line based on nutrition, instead
right?
Of spikes,
exactly.
Right
that's on. The idea, and that works really well. It's been working really well for training.
Great.
I'm going to try it out again this
right.
weekend.
All right. Well, I think you've answered that question for me. It's exciting to know. You and Jim are financing this whole venture.
That's
correct?
Right. That's right.
So
that's
essentially, 100% of the donations will go to brain cancer research.
That's exactly right.
Can you expand on that?
Right. Yes, and I'd love to. You know, the whole purpose of this is for me to raise $1 million, me and my team to raise $1 million for brain cancer research. What we learned when Jenny got sick was that there is a lot of good research out there, but it's not getting to clinical trials because there's not money for it. And I've thought about all the Susan G. Komen runs I've done and all the team and training and the MS rides, and I thought, you know, we need, and those things are actually have been very successful in advancing breast cancer treatment and MS treatment and leukemia lymphoma treatment. So I thought, you know, if money changes things, that's what I'm going to be about. So yes, 100% of every dollar that I'm raising is going to brain cancer research through an organization called Accelerate Brain Cancer Cure, and basically they just find the best and most innovative brain cancer research, and they fund it.
Okay, you were saying this will not be like a Lance Armstrong type thing, where it's
going into
admin. It's actually going to go right
no,
to
there's
research.
No, they've said that every dollar I raise will go to brain cancer research, and it's a 501c3, so all the donations are tax deductible, of course. And here, Martin, what we're trying to do is a little different. I'm looking for big corporate sponsors, of course. That's going to get me to my $1 million, but I'm also just asking everybody who's ever felt that little pinch in their heart when they heard about something, you know, heard about cancer, heard about something bad, to donate $5 or $10. We have a text to give number. You can text RACE, the word RACE, RACE, to 20222, the word RACE to 20222, to make a $10 donation. So what we're really looking for is sort of a groundswell, you know, a grassroots effort. If everybody I know gives $10 and everybody they know gives $10, then we're there. I need 100,000 $10 donations.
So now how does that work? They text that, I mean.
Yes, it's a text to give. You know how people can, you know, during the Hurricane Sandy, people could text to give. It's the same thing. It's an, you know, if we've set this number up, 20222. Mm-hmm. So if you text the word race to 20222, mm-hmm. all that $10 will be added to your phone bill, and that money will go.
Really?
Yes,
got
that
it.
Money will
cool.
go to the to accelerate brain cancer cure.
Okay, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the phone company. So you were
hoping motivated to do that.
So
I'm
you
sorry?
Worked something with the phone company then.
Yes. Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
That is rocking.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We're working, Martin. We really want people to feel like they can be part of our team. One mm-hmm. of our, one mm-hmm. of our slogans is "Join the Brainstorm." Mm-hmm. You know, if everybody gives, we don't need anybody to do a lot. We just need a lot of people to do a little. Mm-hmm. And if everybody listening to this podcast donates, you know, $10, then we're going to be a long way towards our goal. And
God,
they will be part
phenomenal.
Of our team. Yeah. You know, they can. They'll be on my team. So, so I encourage your listeners to join the brainstorm.
Well, you know,
and let's end brain cancer.
In my own experience, you know, I'm a head injury survivor, and
yes.
I know
yes.
the brain is like without that, there's nothing. You know?
That's right. It's where your soul is, right?
It's life. You know, it's like you can't.
Yes.
When I was paralyzed and I had no brain, I didn't know I was paralyzed. You know, and.
Yeah.
When it's like the ability to think it's like, oh my God, not having that.
Right.
You talked about how you occupy your thoughts when you're doing your distance rides, and a lot of that is
yes.
with Jenny. Can you share
yeah.
a little
well,
bit
I think,
of what,
yeah.
what comes up with you for you in that regard? Can you mind sharing some of
yeah.
that?
Yeah, since we've been doing, you know, we've been talking about brain cancer research, of course, my world has been expanded, and I've met all kinds of people who've been impacted by all kinds of cancers, really,
mm-hmm.
And brain cancer specifically. So when I'm writing, I have a list. I keep a couple of index cards filled with names of people who I know are fighting cancer of any kind, or and so when things get tough on the bike, you know, I pull those out and I think about and pray for those people, and I, you know, it makes me feel like, okay, you know, riding the bike a long way hard, you know, might seem hard, but it's nothing like trying to deal with a brain injury,
mm-hmm.
and you know, kudos to you and Marilyn Hayward, you know, I mean, just trying to come back from something like that. It's nothing like that. It's nothing like the fight my sister's got with brain cancer. And I have a good friend who's got esophageal cancer, and he's just, you know, he's fighting for his life, and so I think about him and all the others, and I, you know, and I feel like, yeah, you know, it's sort of a, you know, as I pedal and as I breathe hard and as I work hard, I think, you know, this has got to be good
get,
for
you
something.
You get to do it.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
an honor, isn't
yeah,
it? I mean,
right,
every
right.
day to be
right.
healthy.
Right.
What a great thing.
To be able to do anything, you know.
Yes.
Compared to
yes.
not having life. It's just breathing,
right.
breathing the next breath. It's like, oh my God, you know.
It is. Every day is a good day, isn't it, Martin? Every day that we get to get up and love the people we love is a good day.
How is Jenny taking all this?
She's, you know, you mean Ram, Race Across America? Or?
It's just her cancer.
Oh, she's doing really well. She's,
yeah.
as I said before, she's an amazing person,
mm-hmm.
and one of her great gifts is that she's an encourager.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she's sick, she doesn't complain. She's not thinking about herself. Yesterday I was talking to her, and she's had a cold or a flu on top of every, you know, her chemo and so
mm-hmm.
forth. And she's like, oh, I don't feel that bad. And I said, you never say you feel bad. She never complains. What she spends her time doing is encouraging others.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been this sort of groundswell of people wanting to see her, you know, and people have visited her, and she just encourages. Every conversation I have with her, I walk away from feeling better than I started. She's an amazing person, and she's a person of faith, so she thinks she doesn't, you know, she's not devastated by the diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She trusts that
there's,
you know,
a reason.
That, right,
yeah.
right.
Hmm. Wow. How are her kids taking it?
I think they're equally, you know, doing fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
She's got 5, and the youngest is 13, and the oldest is, I think, 23. And, you know, they're amazing kids. The older ones have been helping me a lot with 3,000 Miles to a Cure. They've been doing a lot of fundraising.
Are they
going to
be on your crew at all? No.
My kids are, but her kids aren't. But
mm-hmm.
they're. But my oldest nephew Charlie Mulligan, my sister's oldest son,
mm-hmm.
is actually doing a drive across the U.S. on the same route.
You're going to scope it out?
To scope it out, to drum up interest, to get people,
cool.
you know, out there. So, so if Ram is Race Across America, he's doing Drive Across America, damn.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Tell us about 3,000 Miles to a Cure.
3,000 Miles to a Cure is the name of our www.3000milestoacure.com is our website that talks about all that we're doing. It talks about why I'm doing Race Across America and what the goal is. It's a place where you can donate. And all the donations, as I said, through our website go to Accelerate Brain Cancer Cure and to research for brain cancer. So you can go on our website and find out about Jenny. There's letters from her children on there. There's a lot of video and things about Race Across America. And so if you're curious about what we're trying to do, or if you'd like to donate, that'd be a great way to do it.
So you keep talking about Accelerate Brain Cancer Cure. Now, that's a whole organization, correct?
Yes, that's the organization that we're fundraising for.
It's called Accelerate Brain Cancer Cure.
And, right. They are also known as ABC Squared, Accelerate Brain Cancer
Cure.
Cool.
All right. So if someone wanted to find them online, they'd Google that, right?
Yeah, they can get to them. Yes, they can Google that, or they can get to that through our website as well. There's a direct link, and it talks about Accelerate Brain Cancer Cure on 3,000 Miles to a Cure.
Now, how are they different from the regular cancer research foundations that are out there?
Yeah,
and how old are these guys? How long have they been around?
They haven't been around that long. I can't tell you exactly when they started. They were Dan Case and the Case there, spinoff of the Case Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Case died of brain cancer. They're different. What I like about Accelerate Brain Cancer Cure is they're apolitical.
Mm-hmm.
They work really hard, and they don't raise money to support victims of cancer, although that's an extremely important cause.
Mm-hmm.
They're solely focused on finding a cure, and they believe that we will find a cure in the next 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're a small organization. The salaries and so forth are paid for through the Case Foundation, as I understand it. And what they do is they go around and they find the best research and the most innovative research. They try to bring researchers together. If there's research on a chemotherapy drug being done for a different kind of cancer, they'll try to get the researchers to add brain cancer people to it. So they do, you know, they're just a really light on their feet, innovative little organization, and I think they're going to be extremely successful, and that's why we're supporting them.
Awesome. Well, listen, Maria, this has been staggering in terms of the amount of information that's just now come over the transom. You're nervous about this upcoming ride. I know that. You told me that.
Yes.
Is there anything you care to add?
I want people to understand that I'm doing Race Across America really solely for the purpose of raising money for brain cancer research. And I am scared. I mean, I've read all the books, I've watched all the movies. This is not something that anyone takes on lightly. I just want to encourage your listeners, we all been touched by cancer, and if you feel that little, you know, sort of sadness, you can do something about it, you know, and I would encourage you to donate to 3,000 Miles to a Cure and be part of a better future, be part of the solution.
Can someone text now?
Yes, text now. If you're listening to this and you're motivated,
what is
text,
that? What
text
is that?
The word.
Tell us it again.
Text the word race, RACE,
mm-hmm.
to 20222. So you put those numbers in there, 20222, and the word RACE, and then that will give us a $10 donation.
Race 2022, and automatically ka-ching, the phone company bangs you for $10.
Right. The number is 20222.
But you've set it up with the phone company to where if someone texts RACE 20222, it's automatic $10.
And that $10 goes directly to the 501c3 Accelerate Brain Cancer Cure.
Wow. Right. This is very exciting. Well, Maria, it's about all that we have time for here, and I thank
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Martin. I really appreciate the opportunity.
I thank you for you. I thank Jim for Jim. I think that he's a saint for being the man behind all of this stuff.
He's fabulous. I couldn't do it. Obviously, wouldn't even dream of doing it without his all this help and support. Yes.
It's like I'm touched. I really am, and I'm excited for you guys. I really am.
Thanks.
So
thanks,
that said, I'm going to let you go, and I just say thanks very much, Maria.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All
Bye.
Right.
That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenways Mountain Movers podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more info about the NBG
or
to access this podcast in the future and to hear other shakers and movers that we've interviewed, go to bikeroute.com.